Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll look at verse number 12 if you'll stand together. Once you've found that passage, if you don't have a Bible, you're a visitor here this morning, there are Bibles in the middle hymn book holder in your pew, and we encourage you to get a Bible so that you can follow along with the preaching of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 12. God's given us a beautiful day, hasn't He? Easter Sunday, beautiful sunshine as we walked out towards church this morning. And it's a blessing to be in God's house. I want you to follow along as I read down through verse number 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 22. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I want you to look back at verse number 14, my text this morning. The first six words say, "And if Christ be not risen." I'm preaching this morning on this thought, the biggest if in human history. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this gathering. Lord, we thank You for bringing people from all walks of life to a local church, Lord, where they can hear about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, we exalt You today and lift You high. And Lord, we seek to exalt the person of Christ, and when He is exalted, You will draw all men to Yourself. Lord, would You draw some people to Yourself this morning? Father, I'm praying that through the Word of God, souls will come under conviction of their sin and realize that the answer is found in a risen Christ. Father, I pray that You empower what goes forth in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever thought about the what-ifs in life? Have you ever looked back in your life and thought, what if this had not happened? Or what if I would have chosen this particular direction in my life? Have you ever thought about the what-ifs of human history? What if the Mayflower had not set sail from England in 1620? How would America be different today? What if General Lee had succeeded in destroying the army of the Potomac River? What if the preachers who led America's great awakening had been intimidated by the government that opposed them in that day? Where would America be today? What if President Kennedy had not been assassinated? What if someone would have caught the terrorist before 9/11? There are a lot of what-ifs about human history. But there's no greater what-if than what the Bible speaks of in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it says, what if Christ had not risen? When we speak of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are speaking of a literal, bodily resurrection of Christ after He was crucified on the cross, where He died, and 3 days later, the Bible teaches us that He rose again from the dead. Last night in our family devotions, I asked my children, prove to me from the Bible that Jesus rose again from the dead. And boy, they were turning the pages of Scripture and trying to find verses that supported what we were talking about in devotions. And finally, my son found one in Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 and 6. He says, here it says, He is not here, but He is risen. And the Bible teaches us the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus came into this world, sir, ma'am, to die, to be your substitute for your sin. The sinless Son of God came to give His life a ransom for many. In fact, the Bible states in Matthew chapter 20, verse number 28, even as the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give His life a ransom, a payment for many. Jesus was crucified, and we know that He was dead. I want to dispel some myths about the resurrection this morning. There's a theory out there called the swoon theory that says, well, they took Him off the cross before He really died. I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 19. What if Christ had not risen? That's what we want to deal with this morning in the message. John chapter 19, verse number 33. Was He indeed dead before He came off the cross? There are a couple of things in the Scriptures that God gives us to notify us, to make it clear that indeed He was dead. You see, the Bible is not a book that runs contrary to science. The Bible is 100% accurate. And God leaves no details unturned. In fact, in John chapter 19, verse number 33, the Bible says, but when they came to Jesus and saw that He was dead already, they brake not His legs. It was a custom in the Roman government that when somebody had died by way of crucifixion or had not died yet, they would break his legs. But we know that it was forecasted in the Old Testament that not one of his bones would be broken. And so they came to Jesus to break his legs, and they realized that he was dead already, and they broke not his legs. In fact, in verse number 34, the Bible says, but one of the soldiers, after realizing that he was dead, with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water, indicating that he was dead. And so, Jesus Christ did in fact rise from the dead. He didn't rise from a coma. He didn't rise from injuries. They didn't put Him in the grave alive, and 3 days later He decided to arise. The Bible says He was dead and rose again. While Jesus was alive, He had predicted that many times in the Scriptures, He had predicted that I will raise in 3 days. In fact, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. And Jesus is speaking, and He's speaking about the temple, and the people that are listening to Him are confused. They're thinking that it's the physical temple that they're meeting in. They're thinking that He's going to destroy the physical temple and raise it up in 3 days. But Jesus clarifies it in John chapter 2. Look at verse number 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But He spake of the temple of His body. When therefore He was risen from the dead, His disciples remembered that He had said unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said unto them. But ladies and gentlemen, if He did not rise, your faith is in vain. In fact, in this particular passage of Scripture, it means it's empty. It's without any true effect upon your life. In fact, the Bible says if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then our preaching is in vain if He did not rise. So, how do we know that He rose? Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18, Jesus Christ is speaking. If you have a red letter edition Bible, you'll see it in red letter edition, pointing to the fact that it was the words of Jesus Christ Himself. And I want you to see what it says in verse number 18. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18, I am He that liveth and was dead. And I like what He says next. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. You know what He was saying in this terrific passage of Scripture? He's saying, I was dead, I am alive, and I will be alive forevermore. And by the very fact of the resurrection of the dead, I have the keys of hell and death. In other words, I have triumphed over them. Jesus Christ, when He rose from the dead, triumphed over sin and death and the grave and Satan. John chapter 11, verses 23 through 27 state this. He's speaking to Martha. Martha said unto Him, I know that He shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day, speaking of her brother. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We have life today, eternal life as believers, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Say, how do I know? I wasn't there. I didn't see it. Turn back in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Did you know that when Jesus rose from the dead, when God raised Him from the dead, God didn't raise Him privately where no man could see Him? Did you know that the Bible teaches us, and I'm going to show you a number of cases this morning, where people saw Him with their own eyes after He rose from the dead? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 4. And that He was buried, that's speaking of Christ. And He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen of Cephas. When? After He rose from the dead. He was seen of Cephas, that's Peter. Then of the 12. That's 13 people, 26 eyeballs if you do the calculation, that saw Him with their own two eyes after He had risen from the dead. But read on. After that, He was seen above 500 brethren at one time or at once. The Bible goes on, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, at the which time at which Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. But some have fallen asleep, some have died. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also, speaking of Paul, as of one born out of due time. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says that He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What's He saying? God's saying, listen, I didn't leave something behind that you have to put your trust in that nobody else saw. He said, I've risen. He's risen from the grave. And then He's seen witnesses, or He's given us witnesses that have told us in the Scriptures. Stephen saw Him after He rose. In Acts chapter 7, verses 54 and 55, it talks about Stephen as he's being persecuted and being stoned. The Bible says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. After He had risen, standing on the right hand of God. Do you realize what separates Christianity today from every other religion is that we have a risen Savior. The founder of Islam is dead. Muhammad was born in 570 and died in 632. The founder of the Baha'i faith, known as Baha'u'llah, was born in 1817 and died in 1892. The founder of the Mormons, Joseph Smith, was born in 1805 and died in 1844. The founder of the Jehovah Witnesses, Charles Russell, was born in 1852 and died in 1902. But can I tell you that your Savior this morning has no beginning date and has no end date? The Bible says He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He was pre-existent before He was born as a virgin. And folks, He's here and He lives forevermore. He's our risen Savior. As you might already know this morning, there are other resurrections in the Bible. There's a resurrection in the Old Testament where Elijah raised the widow's son that had given him food in the famine. There's a resurrection of Lazarus by Jesus Christ in the New Testament. There's the daughter of Jairus raised from the dead in the New Testament. There's the son of the widow of Nain raised from the dead. But all of those resurrections was about a single person. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is much different. For do you realize when Jesus Christ died and rose again, God didn't just see Jesus on that cross. God didn't just see Jesus rise from the dead, but God the Father, when He saw Jesus die and raise from the dead, He saw unnumbered millions who have died with Him and have risen in new life in Christ. Abel was there. And since Abel, all those who have believed in God's way to heaven through the blood atonement of Jesus Christ was there as well. The Bible teaches us there are some reasons for the resurrection. You say, what makes the resurrection the biggest if? There are two truths this morning. One is the reasons for the resurrection. There are four things that make it the biggest if. Do you realize that if Jesus Christ would not have risen, there was no other way for God to proclaim that He was the Son of God? Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. You say, what's at stake in the resurrection? First of all, it's the proclamation of the Savior. That's what's at stake. In Romans chapter 1, I want you to look at verses 3 and 4. The Bible is speaking of Christ. As Paul writes many of his epistles in the New Testament, he writes them introducing Jesus Christ. And Romans is no different. In chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, he states concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, look at the next phrase, by the resurrection from the dead. You say, what is God saying here in Romans chapter 1? What He's saying is this: the way that I marked out, that I defined for all of mankind, who would be the coming Messiah and Savior, is when I raised my Son Jesus from the dead. I declared to all of the universe, past, present, and future, that the person to take away man's sin is my Son, Jesus Christ. And He did that by raising Him from the dead. Folks, if He did not raise Him from the dead, and Jesus Christ did not rise, then God's proclamation of a Savior is invalid and we have nothing to place our faith in. But He did rise from the dead. And we do have God's proclamation. And it's made known to every kindred, tongue, people, and nation that Jesus rose from the dead. And we can place our faith in His finished work. Not only is there the proclamation of the Savior that's at stake, but there's the purging of sin. Turn back in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You say, what is the big deal about the resurrection? Well, if He didn't rise, God's declaration is false. God's a liar. This book is worthless. We have no hope, folks. But He did rise from the dead. What else is at stake? Why is it the biggest if? Because the purging of sin depended on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 17 of 1 Corinthians 15. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Do you realize, Christians, this morning, that it's not just the death of Christ that saved us? Do you realize that if He would have died and not risen again, we have no forgiveness of sins? It was His resurrection that proved that He got victory over sin and Satan in the grave. The Bible says if He didn't rise, we're still yet in our sins. We're still facing the penalty for our sins in a place called hell. But I thank God today that He did rise. And I thank God that I have a home in heaven based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It took place after the Waterloo campaign in June of 1815. All England was awaiting news of the campaign in which the Duke of Wellington opposed Napoleon Bonaparte. Since it was long before the days of the telegraph or the telephone, watchers were stationed along the coast to catch semaphore signals. They didn't communicate by phone. What they did was they communicated by flags. And the way the flags were held in their arms would communicate letters or numbers. And so all of these people from England were standing along the coast and they were waiting for ships to come by to announce what happened in the battle, in the campaign. As they were watching for those signals, one watcher spied a vessel beginning to wigwag a message. The words were, Wellington defeated. Wellington defeated. And before they could see any of the other words coming out of the flags, fog began to set in and it began to cloud their perspective of what they were reading. Those words, "Wellington defeated," were relayed across England, and the nation was plunged into doom. The fog then cleared. The message came through: "Wellington defeated the enemy." Wellington wasn't defeated, but Wellington defeated the enemy. Sorrow was banished. Rejoicing started taking place in the streets. And I believe it paints an accurate picture if we could go back to Calvary today. And on that day when Jesus hung on the cross, when He bore your sin and my sin and suffered, and as many of His followers watched Him die on that cross, wait a second, this was the Jesus that proclaimed to be God Himself. He was the one that said, "I've come God in the flesh. I was made flesh and dwelt among you." This was the Jesus that performed miracles. What's taking place on that terrible day when Jesus was born? And it must have went through their minds. Christ defeated. Oh, but 3 days later, it must have gone through their minds: Christ defeated the enemies. He defeated the enemies. And because of it, we have purging from our sin. In fact, in Acts chapter 5, verse number 31, it says, "Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Why? Because in verse 30, "the God of our fathers raised up Jesus so we can have forgiveness of sins." And then thirdly, what else was at stake? Not only the proclamation of the Savior, not only the purging of sin, but why is this the biggest if of the Bible? Because for believers, it means power over sin. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. You may be a Christian here this morning and battling with the habits of sin. You say, "Pastor Chris, I have a stronghold in my life. I have chains that are wrapped around me. It seems like I give in to sin over and over and over again in my life." Can I announce to you this morning that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you as a believer have power over your sin? Sin does not have to control you. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, I want you to see verse number 5. "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." Notice, we have been planted together in the likeness of His death. We shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Look at verse number 9. "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died into sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God." You say, "Preacher, I'm battling sin in my life. I know I'm saved, but I'm battling sin." You know what the Bible instructs you to do? The Bible instructs you to reckon yourself dead unto it and alive unto God. God dealt with sin once on the cross, and He dealt with it for you as a believer to have control over it, to have power over it in your life. If you're living in sin this morning as a believer, you shouldn't be living in sin. You have the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The same power of that resurrection is available to you as you deal with sin in your life. He's given you power over it. Then what makes the resurrection the biggest if? The promise of the future. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We have a hope. It's not a hope that it might take place, but it's a confident expectation that it will take place. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." We have a lively hope. It's alive. We look forward to it. It's going to take place. Why do we have that lively hope? Look at the next phrase. "By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Folks, if there is no resurrection, there is no lively hope. There is no promise of the future. There is no purging of sin. There is no power over sin for the believer. There is no proclamation by God of the Savior. 1 Corinthians 15:19 sums it up this way. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What's it saying? If Christ didn't rise from the dead, and we're hoping that something's going to happen because of Christ in the future, we are of all men most miserable. We have a false hope. But the Bible says we have a lively hope. We have a lively hope in Christ. What is that hope? Well, the hope is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Bible states it this way, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall what? Rise first." What is the hope? The hope is the rapture of the church. The hope is that Jesus Christ is coming back in the clouds. And if you're alive, you're going up with Him. And if you're dead and in Christ, you're rising from the grave to be with Him. That is our hope. That leads us to the response. As I close the message this morning, the resurrection of Jesus Christ demands a response from every person. In Matthew 22, the Sadducees denied the resurrection. You see, the Sadducees were a group of people that denied the supernatural. It couldn't take place. There's no way that somebody could rise from the dead. It defies the laws of science. But oh, were they wrong. Because Jesus rose from the dead. In Matthew 27, verses 62 through 64, it says, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead.'" Well, they did station guards, but they didn't keep the Savior down. He rose from the dead. But do you realize that the Pharisees and the priests, the religious leaders of the day, didn't believe in the resurrection by what they told Pilate to do? Get the disciples, get somebody to watch over the grave because the disciples might steal the body. In other words, he's not going to arise. They're going to fabricate this thing. You see, the resurrection demands a response from every one of us. The philosophers in Acts chapter 17 said, "What will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a set of order of strange gods because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." He's a babbler. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And I dare say, if you're like that under the sound of my voice, will you change your mind about the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning? Don't mock it. You need to believe it with all your heart. Acts chapter 17, verse 32, "When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.'" There were mockers and there were procrastinators. Some mocked it. "Ah, it's not that big a deal. Why is he making such a big deal out of the resurrection? What's his problem?" Others said, "Well, I need to hear some more about this. I'm not going to make a decision about it today. Wait, I'll hear it again." And I believe that there are many that take that route of, "Let me hear it again. I'm not sure about it. I don't know why I need it, why I need to believe in it. Let me just, I'll hear it sometime again." Then for believers there was a response, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." This is a very practical application to our group this morning. Many are getting ready to start in our soul winning program. And my word, you talk about being able to share good news. What about sharing with great power the witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? That's exactly what these folks did in Acts chapter 4. And so, it demands a response. The biggest if in human history, folks, comes down to the biggest if in your life. Say, "Preacher, what is the biggest if in my life?" The biggest if is this. If you were to die today, Are you 100% certain that you would go to heaven? The biggest if of the resurrection, the biggest if in human history, leads us to this question that is the biggest if for every breathing human being under the sound of my voice this morning. If you were to die today, are you 100% certain that you would go to heaven? Turn over in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10, the last verse that we'll look at this morning. You say, "Preacher, I don't know." I don't know the answer to that if. I'm not sure if I die today where I would go. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 give us one more if. I want you to look at it. It says that if thou, we could put your name in there, that if Chris, that if Aaron, that if Skip, that if Gabriel, that if Lonnie, that if Shep, shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The biggest if question in your life can be solved by the if in Romans chapter 10. You see, God's not asking, He didn't ask the question, if you believe in me. There are a lot of people that believe in God. The devils believe in God, the Bible says, and tremble. He didn't ask you if you believe in Him. He didn't ask you if you believe there's a God. He's not asking you if you believe there's a heaven and a hell. Many believe in heaven and hell. He's asking if you have confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus. He's asking if you have believed in your heart that what? God hath raised Him from the dead. And the promise from God to every person that does that is, I will save you. I will give you a home in heaven. You can be able to answer the biggest if question in your life if you will confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. Folks, for me that took place at a point in time, and for every person it takes place at a point in time. I can take you back to the place. I can take you back to the altar that I prayed at. And this morning, the biggest if of human history is, if Christ arose. The answer to that if is, yes, He did. He arose from the dead. But the biggest if in your life is, if you die today, are you 100% sure that you go to heaven? The answer to that if is found in Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. You say, why do I need to do that? Because you have a sin problem you can't solve. That's why. Jesus is the only answer. He's the only one that can forgive sins. And if you don't trust, if you don't confess and believe in your heart, ye are yet in your sins. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Years from now in eternity, you may ask a similar question to some of the questions that I asked this morning at the beginning of the